6. And I don't know if we'll necessarily go this slow through the entire book of Revelation, but it is important that we understand the introduction to this book. Let's see. Brother Gates, can you do me a favor? Could you just make sure in my thinking and talking, make sure I didn't miss somebody? And do you know where the box is that attendance sheet goes into? Yeah, and Rusty would be able to tell you. Thank you, because it's for her. Because I'll forget to give it to her, and she'll call me and say, who was in your class? And so, thank you, Gage. Hey, Max, good morning. Revelation chapter 1. Look at verses 1 through 6. I'll just read them. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it, which shows us his method of writing, by his angel unto his servant John, who is an authority, because he, verse 2, if you were to go to 1 John, by the way, and look at John's definition of his association with Jesus, he says, I saw him, I looked at him, I actually touched him. When you would, you like to be able to do that with Jesus. So this is an authority. He bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Here's this blessing given to us if we read it. He that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. So we got to read it, we got to hear it, we got to keep it. John, verse 4, to the seven churches which are in Asia. Grace be to you, peace from him which is, which was, and which is to come, which is who? God the Father, as we saw. The seven spirits which are before his throne, which is God the Holy Spirit. And in verse 5, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness. He is faithful in giving us, you know, Jesus often said, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, he was faithful. And he was the first begotten of the dead. He is the priority one. When he rose from the dead, he never died again. And he's the prince of the kings of the earth. He's king of kings and lord of lords. He loved us. He loosed us or washed us from our sins. Tonight I'm going to be very important for all of us to hear the gospel in its purity. Before we can share the gospel to others, we better make sure we understand what that is. All right? Where he's washed us from our sins. How? In his what? Blood. I did say I was just going to read this, didn't I? Okay, verse 6. And hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. And we'll see in the end of the book of Revelation that we will rule and reign with him. To him be glory, dominion forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Now, got to take a little bit of time with verse 7. Because this is the theme of the book of Revelation. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. And all kindreds of the earth shall, what? I wanted you to see that word, wail, which means what? What's that? Yeah, and it has the idea of mourning. You know, when someone does die that we're very close to, we the hurt is so great. We moan. And it says here that they wail because of him. Even so, amen. Now, if you remember something we said regarding the understanding of the book of Revelation, if you're going to understand the book of Revelation, you better have a good knowledge of the rest of the Bible. And by the way, I found the answer when you said there's no more seas. I took you to 22:1, but it was in 21:1. There was no more seas. All right? No one's looking, so let me show you. Chapter 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Okay, so I wanted to make sure when, because I didn't answer you very well when you asked me that question. Okay, so there is going to be a total arrangement of that. All right, so I wanted to get back. That's why I looked at my notes and I thought, I wanted to get back to that. Now, here we see in verse 7. Okay, let's come back to chapter 1, verse 7. This is based on what your Bible tells you. Now, I want us to, first of all, now don't lose Revelation chapter 1, okay? But go over to the book of Daniel. And in Daniel chapter 7, now verse 13 tells us, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days. All right? Now, Daniel chapter 7. Now, if you remember, Daniel had seen a vision in Daniel chapter 2. Four kingdoms. Now I'm interpreting now, but historically it's true. There was Babylon, the Medo-Persians, the Greeks, and the Romans. Okay. He gives this very same vision from a different perspective in chapter 7. There were four beasts. Who were they? What were they? Verse 4 was like a what? Okay, that's Babylon. Okay, and I'm just interpreting here, but I want you to understand what's going on. Verse 5, there's another beast, which was like a bear. Okay, Medo-Persians. Verse 6, the third beast was like a leopard, the Greeks. Alexander the Great swiftly went across and conquered the world that he knew. And then the fourth beast, we're told, it says, this beast in verse 7 is dreadful and terrible. And we're going to see a lot of this stuff in the book of Revelation. But we're told that there comes up a little horn in verse 8. He is known as the Antichrist. Now, these four kingdoms, Babylon, Medo-Persians, Greeks, Rome. Now, there is this fourth kingdom is diverse than the rest. In chapter 2, part clay, part iron. And really, what you're seeing in history is a revived Roman Empire. All right. Now, don't get too bogged down with that. But what we see is that this Antichrist rises and he deceives the whole world. We'll see that in Revelation chapter 13. And he deceives the whole world with the number 666. But at the end of that period, which is known as the Great Tribulation period, the Bible says in verse 9, I beheld thrones were cast down, the Ancient of Days did sit. Now this is God the Father. And we know he's God the Father because in verse 13, God the Son approaches him. Now, it says about God the Father, his garment was white as snow, and his hair as of his head was like pure wool. And his throne was like a fiery flame. Now, this should not be too surprising if you know the book of Revelation, because in Revelation chapter 1, we're going to see a picture of Christ who matches this description. And it says that so here's God the Father on his throne. Verse 12, the four beasts, their dominion or their kingdom is destroyed. Pow! I mean, that's prophecy in a nutshell. And then what happens? Verse 13, the Son of Man comes with clouds, and he comes to the Ancient of Days. In verse 14, there was given unto him what? Dominion. What is dominion? What's that? Yeah, so actually when we think about a kingdom, we're talking about a dominion. If I am the head of that dominion or that kingdom, I'm the king. See? So there was given him dominion and glory and the kingdom that all people, this is verse 14, nations and languages should serve him. His dominion is how long? See, this is the difference between the four beasts or the four pieces of the statue in Daniel chapter 2. That's the difference between him, their kingdoms and Christ. Theirs is limited. But Christ's dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away and shall not be destroyed. Now, let me give you a little tidbit on this. When Jesus was brought before the Sanhedrin, when he was crucified, they asked him point blank, are you the Messiah? And you know what Jesus says? Now, he could have said, yeah, I am. But instead of saying yes, he says, there's coming a day when you'll see the Son of Man coming in his glory, or something like that. And you know what he was referring to? He was referring to Daniel chapter 7, verse 13. So, when that happened, the scripture tells us that was it Caiaphas? What did he do when he heard that? Anybody know? ripped his garment and said, blasphemy! See, Jesus is the Son of Man. All right. That's the first passage that we see being referred to, at least the first one we're talking about today, in Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. The second passage I want you to see is in the book of Zechariah. Now, Zechariah is the book right before Malachi. So we're talking about the second of the last books of the Old Testament. Now, do a little bit of study here. All right? So we have to understand Revelation is based on this. Okay, Zechariah chapter 12. And verse 1, the burden of the word of the Lord for who? Okay, all right, so if you can interact with me, that would be helpful. That means that you're not just wandering. If a teacher teaches and the student hasn't learned, the teacher has not taught. Okay, always remember that. All right, so it was to who? The burden to who? Israel. Now, verse 2, this is the vision. I will make what city? Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all people around about. And they shall be in the siege. In other words, Jerusalem's going to be under siege. You've been under, I mean, if a nation is under siege, that means there's an enemy attacking. Now, I'd love to just teach through Zechariah 12, 13, 14, but I want you to see this. Notice that they're going to come at the end of verse 2 against Jerusalem. Verse 4, what's the first three words? In that day. Okay. Look at verse 6. In that day. Look at verse 8. In that day. Look at verse 9. It shall come to pass in that day. Look at verse 11. In that day. Okay, well, make sure you know I've said it enough. Look at chapter 13, verse 1. In, say it with me, in that day. All right, so you could have just said that with me and not even read it, but I want you to read it. Look with me at verse 4. And it came to pass in that day. Now, we see in chapter 14, verse 1, that day is called the day of the Lord. So this is a, now I can talk about Saturday. My wife and I came over here and we cleaned the church. And we went to a gender reveal of Dowie and Christina. And I could talk about yesterday. Or I could say, now, when I was growing up, in that day, now what day am I talking about? Sometime when I was maybe growing up. We could talk about the 60s. I was actually born in the 50s, but what's that? The Ancient of Days, yes. Now, think about that, though. That's a very interesting thing that she just said, because remember, God, the Father, is called the Ancient of Days. He's been there forever. So in other words, what I'm getting at is I could say when I was growing up in that day, I had to walk 50,000 miles to school uphill. And when I came home, the hill switched and I had to walk 50,000 miles down the hill. You know, I could talk about that in my day. When we're talking about the day of the Lord, we're talking about a period of time from the time of the tribulation period forward, okay? And depending on what that day is referring to, it gives you an idea when it's going to be. So the day of the Lord comes, look at chapter 14, and it says in verse 2, I will gather all nations against Jerusalem. Isn't that what we just read in chapter 11? And verse 3. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations. Now get the picture. Here's Jerusalem under siege. And they're surrounded. Like today, they're surrounded by all these nations that would love to see them annihilated. And all these nations come against Jerusalem. And guess what? Here comes from the sky, Lord Jesus. And it says in verse 3, he shall go forth and fight against those nations. In verse 4, his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave. In other words, there's going to be an earthquake. When I was in Jerusalem, I was standing on the Mount of Olives, and I said, now where's this earthquake? Where's it, what does it mean? What's going to? And I was talking to our guide, and he was a prophecy scholar, and he says, it's going to be divided right along here. And then the river will flow to the Dead Sea. Anyway, you can see all that in Revelation, in Zechariah 14. But look at verse 6. And it shall come to pass in that day. And verse 8. And it shall be in that day. Verse 13, it shall come to pass in that day. And then look at verse 20. In that day. And it's the setting up of this kingdom. Now, I want to show you something, though. In chapter 12, it tells us in verse 9, and it shall come to pass in that day, God says, I will destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. Who's going to be that one? Jesus is going to come and boom, they're done. Now, it's not going to be, you know, a poof of smoke and they're done. It's really a campaign. We call it the Battle of Armageddon. And so over a period of time, this is going to take place. And when the Lord comes back, look at verse 11. I will pour upon the house of who? David. See, the problem with Reformed theology is that Reformed theology says that Israel is no more Israel, the church replaced. It's called replacement theology. But this has never taken place. And the scripture here tells us that Jesus is going to come back. The inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and supplication, and they're going to, this is who? Who is seeing this? Israel, it's the Messiah! Whom they had, what does it say? Whom they have pierced. And what will they do when they see him? You know, here's Israel thinking, well, maybe, you know, true Judaism, many of them do not believe that Jesus was the Messiah. True Judaism would say, well, when the Messiah comes, he's going to destroy all our enemies. And so when Jesus came, did he destroy all their enemies? No, he was crucified, and they pierced his hands and his feet. And they'll look at him coming, and they'll say, it's him whom we have pierced. And they'll cry, and they'll wail. And they'll mourn for him, it says, as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him, as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Verse 11, in that day shall there be a great, what? Mourning. Sound familiar? In Jerusalem, as the mourning of Hadadrimmon in the valley of Megiddo. The battle of Armageddon. And the land shall mourn. Yes, sir. Zechariah chapter 13. Did I say, no, 12, chapter 12. I'm sorry. Thank you. Was everybody else with me? Just want to make sure you knew where I was. So chapter 12, verse 10, in verse 11, in that day there shall be a great mourning. See that? In where? Jerusalem. Verse 12, and the land shall mourn. Every family apart, the family of the house of David, and their wives apart, the family of the house of Nathan, and their wives apart, the family of the house of Levi. See, these are different tribes, and their wives apart. All the families. What is going on here? This is what we see in Scripture, that one day Israel is going to turn to God. And they're going to turn to God when he comes back. And if you were to go over to Romans chapter, or look over to Matthew 24. Let's look there first. Matthew chapter 24. Now we're in the New Testament. And in Matthew chapter 24, it tells us in verse 27, as the lightning, Jesus said, this is the, you know, the disciples said, when is the sign of his coming, of your coming? And Jesus says in verse 27, as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west. Now think about this. One of the things that I noticed when I came to Kansas, we did not have these kind of lightning storms in Michigan. I mean, some of these lightning storms will scare you out of your boots. You know, it just, whoa, lights up the sky. And Jesus says, when I come back, they're going to look upon me. And it says, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Verse 29, immediately. Now, verse 28 is interesting, but we don't have time to get into that. Verse 29, this is Matthew chapter 24, 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days. So we're talking about after 7 years of tribulation. And we'll prove that to you as we go through Revelation. At the end of the seven-year tribulation, after the Antichrist has come and all the nonsense takes place on earth, shall the sun be darkened? The moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. You know, if you imagine an earthquake, you know, whoa, what's going on here? And of course, as I mentioned, he's going to divide the Mount of Olives with this earthquake. And there shall appear, verse 30, the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And there shall all the, what? Tribes. See, we saw that in Zechariah. The tribes of Israel. They shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with how? With power and great glory. And there's going to be this great sound, verse 31, of a trumpet. And he'll gather his elect, it says in verse 31. Now I want to take you to one other passage. I told you it'd take us a while to go through this verse. Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. And this is what Paul, the apostle, is referring to when he says in Romans chapter 11, verse 25, that I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits. That blindness in part is happening to who? So this is not the church. And again, this is Romans 7 where he says, you know, God set aside Israel to bring in the gospel to the Gentiles. But one day, Israel will no longer be blinded. And in part, it happened to Israel until when? The fullness of the Gentiles. Now, what is the fullness of the Gentiles? Babylon. Who controlled Israel at first? Who conquered Jerusalem? Babylon. The Medes and the Persians, under the rule of Cyrus, was ruled by the Persians ruled Israel. The Greeks ruled Israel. The Romans. Why did Jesus have to go to Pontius Pilate? Because he was a Roman. And the scripture tells us there's this revived Roman Empire that is going to... Right now, Israel's in their land. But they're there in fulfillment of prophecy that we don't have time to go into. But there's going to be the time when the Antichrist is going to rule. And Israel will see him coming in the clouds. And they'll say, he's the one. You know, and I know that a lot of people, when they die, they're going to find out, wow, I should have been a little bit more respectful to this Jesus. In verse 26, and so all, this is Romans 11, all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion a deliverer, the deliverer, and turn away ungodliness from Jacob. All right. Now, let's finally get to Revelation. Okay, Revelation chapter 1. Now, it tells us, this is the theme of Revelation, he cometh. And when he comes, how is he going to come? With the clouds, just as Daniel said it would, or as Matthew said he would. Every eye shall see him. And they also which pierced him. Remember that in Zechariah? And all kindreds of the earth. Now I want to show you something that's interesting here. The word kindreds is translated chapter 7, verse 4, is it? Yeah. Chapter 7 of Revelation, verse 4, when it says, "And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 and 4,000, and all the what?" That's the very same word that's translated kindred in Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. So when it says here, "They which pierced him and all the tribes of the earth shall wail because of him." Wail, the Jews, they'll repent. And the conclusion is, even so, amen. He is coming. You ever watch Sound of Music? How many have ever watched Sound of Music? Sound of Music General, or the Captain Von Trapp. How many know what I'm talking about? Okay. Captain Von Trapp. You know, he sees that they're putting a Hitler flag up there. And he goes up to that flag and rips it apart. And the guy that was the German comes up to him and says, "The Germans are coming, Captain. And nothing you can do can stop it," or something like that. Let me tell you, Jesus is coming. And it's going to happen just the way he says it's going to happen. And if it doesn't happen the way I think it's going to happen, my thinking's wrong. But it's going to happen the way the Bible says it's going to happen. Amen? Even so, amen. And to make sure it happens, verse 8, God breaks in. "I am Alpha and Omega." Now my translation, my Ryrie Study Bible has that in red. Anybody else have theirs in red? I'm not sure if that's Jesus speaking or God speaking. I mean, I'm not sure. What we're going to find is that when Jesus does speak and say, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end," if you look over to chapter 1 and verse 18, "I am he that liveth and was dead." Well, look at verse 17. "Fear not, I am the first and the last." Verse 18, "I am he that liveth and was dead." That wasn't God the Father. So what's a little uncertain to me here is this. Okay, is God the Father speaking? God the Son? Certainly God the Son is God, just like God the Father is God. And when he says, "I am Alpha and Omega," that'd be like saying he's the A through the Z. Yes. Kyrios, which means a lord over a servant. See, but in the Old Testament, you can have capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, which refers, I believe, to Adonai, if I'm not mistaken. See, but one thing is very clear here. It's either Adonai or Yahweh, I forget. So, but what we have here is this, that God is the Alpha and Omega. He's always been. He's always been there, always will be there. And he was, we saw that in verse 4. And that's the idea of Jehovah. Who do I say sent me? Moses said. Well, you say unto the Egyptians, I am sent you. God always is. And he was, but he is. And he's coming. Now, the Almighty there is an interesting word. And again, that's I'm glad you brought that up about the words. Because the word Almighty there is translated in chapter 19, I believe, the Lord God Omnipotent, the All-Powerful One. So, how do I know Jesus is coming? For the Bible tells me so. And the Bible is true. I was listening to some secular forecast the other day. Did I mention this last week? Maybe I did, maybe I didn't. But I was listening to some secular forecast, and the guy was going on, and he says, man, all this stuff in Revelation, I'm seeing it. What was he saying? He's saying, you know, we talk about one world economy. Wow, we are there. We see what the computer can do now. We're there. But I'm jumping ahead of myself here. But I'm just saying to you, Jesus is coming. Even so, our prayer should be Revelation. Even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen? 7 and 8, that's what I got through, Brother Dave. So Revelation chapter 1, 7 and 8. Lord, help us now. As we get ready for the service, bless our time together for Jesus' sake. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming.